Hello, this is Father Schnurman. So welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese and Affiliate Reach. And with me I have...
Richard.
Yes, today we've got a beautiful program. The Life of St. Anthony, in Latin, Vita Anthony. And the name Vita Anthony is well known as Life of Anthony. We want to talk about the man who was born blind. How can a man who was born blind, Jesus gives him sight? Then we want to look at a segment called Making a Decision or Making the Decision. We have a segment on Life of St. Anthony, the great virtue of St. Anthony. What do you think are some of the virtues St. Anthony was able to work on, that you could work on, I could work on, Rich can work on, all of us can work on it through? The Desert Fathers, some sayings by St. Anthony and Desert Fathers. Truly, his life is marvelous. His life is a model for all of us. And after a short break, we'll go straight into the Gospel of St. John.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Now we're ready for a gospel reflection from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, from verse 1 to verse 38. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me, while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes open? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received the sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisee who asked him again how he had received his sight, he said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he will be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do nothing. The answer said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had been found, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Truly, this is the gospel that is so majestic, so moving, that a man who was born blind, Jesus gives him sight, gives him new eyes. What's marvelous about this is that Jesus saw him and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man, by the way, did not question the voice that spoke to him. He did not question how could the water wash my eyes, but he was obedient to the voice of God. He listened, he responded, and he acted. Listen, responded, and he acted. He was obedient. And because of his obedience, he had faith that God can open his eyes. And he went and did just that, and his eyes were opened. It's a marvelous story for our learning. Marvelous learning that we've got to take decisions in our life to hear the word of God, to walk in the word of God, and to respond to the word of God by taking those actions. Richard, what are your thoughts and reflection on this gospel that is mighty, powerful? And you know, this gospel is a reflection of all of the scriptures.
Absolutely, Father. To me, it's an amazing thing, because this person who's never seen, never...
You're right. He's never seen. He has no idea what a tree would look like.
Yeah.
He has no idea what a man looks like. Has no idea what a woman looks like. Has no idea what, you know, a fruit, apple, oranges, and even not a fish. He would have tasted all. He would have, you know, had the senses, you know, with his hands to feel that orange is round.
Yeah, absolutely. But what amazes me even more is that that act gave him so much faith that once Jesus revealed that he was the Son of God, he went for it straight away.
Yeah.
And it just kind of makes me think about all the marvelous things that happens in our lives. Of course, nothing to that, like, you know what? It might have happened to someone that something on that, you know, scale of, you know, you're blind and now you can see happened in someone's life. And it just gives you enough faith. But it makes me think about all the marvelous things that happen in our lives. And all those things, when we look at him, some people just don't see that they were there from... like someone planned it for them. Someone put that in place for them. And then there's others that are just, nah, it's just the universe working out for me. And if that's what you believe, that's great. It's if you're happy with that, go for it. But if you know that there's something bigger out there, look at all those things that just fall into place perfectly. Look at all those things that seem to work out so well for you. And just one, think about it, you know, how does that happen? How does it just fall? Like, just recently, you know, I met this person at a cafe, and a complete stranger. But, you know, next thing I know, I'm going to an interview with him. So, I mean, just so many things had to fall into place. My friend didn't want to go, but I convinced him, you know.
But I don't believe that was coincidence that you experienced.
Exactly, exactly.
The Lord allowed for you to meet this person at a cafe because he knew that you were looking for a job.
Absolutely.
And you asked for it. And I'll tell you something. There are two words that are, you know, quite distinct in the Old Testament. The word marvelous and the word awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Is an awesome God. His works are marvelous. So when you look at this, you know, these words today, God's work is marvelous. Amen. Jesus' work is marvelous. Jesus' work is awesome. And I guess you've touched a nerve. You know what that nerve it was?
What?
You're saying that, you know, not all of us will experience what has this man experienced, this physical blindness and receive the physical sight. But lots of us have the spiritual blindness, and God opens our eyes to see the truth in the matters that is presented to us.
Absolutely.
And that it happens on a daily basis. Meaning to say, Richard, God does awesome miracles.
Indeed,
and marvelous miracles to each one of us on a daily basis.
Indeed.
Not a yearly basis. On a daily basis. And on that note, we shall come back and talk about making a decision or making the decision.
Expecting the worst, are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Can you imagine when this race is won? Turn our golden faces into the sun. Raising our leaders, we're getting in tune. The music's played by the madman. Forever young, I want to be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever, forever, forever young. I want to be forever young. Do you really want to live forever?
I want to live.
Hello, welcome back to Copter Voice Radio. This is Father Shnuda Manso, and with me I have...
Richard.
Yeah, Richard. Tell me the difference. And that is as follows. When I make a decision, as opposed to making the decision.
In my mind, making a decision is that you're not truly convinced about it, that you're just kind of... Yeah, I have to make a decision, I'll just go with that. While making the decision is that you're thoroughly convinced about it, is that you're confident in it and that, you know, you're going in it full-heartedly. You know, I'm making the decision. We were talking about it off air and you said, you know, if I'm going into marriage, you know, you're making the decision.
Of course, not making a decision, you know.
Exactly.
Once I've you know, gone through, you know, just like, for example, you're going from 2 points... You know that you got to do some walking. And you can't say, I'll make a decision, I'll walk. But you made a decision that once you left, you know, from a certain train station and you know that you got half an hour walk, you can't just stop halfway, you know, knowing there's no buses, there's no nothing. You have to keep going, so you can't go back.
Mm.
And even our Lord Jesus Christ made that, you know, distinct parable. You know, when a king... wants to go to war, he needs to do what? He needs to make sure that, you know, he has the right, you know, resources and is able to, you know, to keep, you know, at it and so forth. So he makes a very strong decision to either go or not to go. It doesn't make a decision, no, let us go because, you know, it came to say, let's do it. It doesn't work that way. I mean, if we look at the gospel, the blind man, he took the decision to go to the Pool of Siloam, meaning that he responded to Jesus' voice. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And further to that, if we make the decision in our life that, okay, I want my life change, it's not a decision anymore. It's something confirming, change, transforming decision that will change my life forever. As you said, you know, about the issue of marriage, you know, you can't, okay, I married a person, now 15 years down the track, oh, I've got problems with the person, you know, and I want to be free as a bird. I want my life back. I mean, it doesn't work that way. I mean, this is why marriage is for life. And life meaning a physical life together. You want to spend your life with her and with him. Having a child. And then we say, no, you know, we want to conceive, we want a child. And then, you know, a bit later on, then the child is born, and a bit later on, the child grows up. And because of one's negligence, the child grows disobedient. Is it the child's fault or is it the parent's fault? And then the parent said, you know, we've got house rules. Don't like it, get out. So, I mean, we've got to be careful what we do. We've got to be careful how we say things. We've got to be careful in our own actions. And also, the aspect, this whole aspect, by the way, making the right decision in the life is the decision. St. Anthony was one character. He made the decision. He heard the voice in the gospel. It says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything, come and follow me. It wasn't a decision that he had to, you know, to make. It was a decision of his life that changed his whole life. The blind man took the decision to walk from where he was to the Pool of Siloam. The people who are getting married from the door of the church make decision and walk in front of the altar, you know, to get married. Not a decision. A decision means that I have more than possibility to do A, B, and C. To marry, not to marry, to defer, to cancel. So obviously, you know, it has that indefinite, you know, And I think when we look at grammar, there's something called indefinite article and definite article. And the word indefinite is a and an, a decision, as opposed to the decision. The word T-H-E is definite article, meaning it is definite. So here, obviously, just like, for example, saying, I saw a cat, or I saw the cat, meaning a cat could be any cat. But the cat that I saw, yes, it was red, it had blue eyes, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth, and very, it's the cat. So very here it tells us, make the decision. My decision is that Jesus is the light of the world. And I'm definite on that. He is the one that can open my eyes. He is the one that can lead me in the right path. He's the one that could say to me, go this way and be assured it is the correct path. Richard.
Yeah, Father, I kind of just wanted to say something and it just popped into my head. When the blind man went to the pool to wash his eyes, he was still blind. So he would have known that, but he still made the decision to go. Even though he knew the way could be difficult, you know, for a blind person at that time, it would have been very difficult. They didn't have, you know, the technology or the things that, you know, people have now to help them and guide them. So that would have been, he could have been stumbling around and falling, and he still made the decision to go, even knowing that it could be a difficult journey. But that's another thing that amazes me, is that he still heard the word of God and he still just went for it. And he came out eyes open, happy, smiling, and knowing that it was the right decision. And it kind of just makes me like reflect back, and it's another thing that marvels me. As we go through this bit by bit, it just opens my mind to things. And so as you said, you know, it's the decision that God is the light of the world. And it's quite an image to kind of put into mind.
You know, making a decision here further to that, Richard, is that I'm going to pray for my exam. I'm going to pray for my wife. I'm going to pray for my son. I'm going to pray for my workmate. I'm going to pray for my boss. It's making the decision, you know, to pray for them. Making a decision that I put my issues before God. That's making the decision, not making a decision as such. So, well, you know, as you said early on, so, well, it's, you use an expression that, you know, it's the universe, you know, it's the force of the universe that it either happens or doesn't happen. It's not the case. God loves me. God cares for me. God would always do things the right for me. But in order for that happen, I need to make that the decision in my life, that Jesus is the light of my life. And we have one beautiful segment that we want to talk about, actually a couple of segments, on the life of Anthony. And this leads us to how St. Anthony took that decision to leave everything and to follow the light of the world, that is Jesus.
For Papa is I knew a man who lived in a desert way. Listened to winds and ate only bugs every day. Nutty old man He would sit by the hour there, over there in his hair. Sat in a cell and slept in a well, they say. I heard tell that this brother carried a jagged stone in his mouth for 3 years until he learned to be silent. Living and dreaming inside an expanding mind. Put on a scroll every bit of it he can find. Once, a younger brother came to him and asked, Father, I have made and kept my little rule, my fast, my meditation in silence. I strive to cleanse my heart of thoughts. What more must I do? The elder rose up and stretched out his hands. His fingers became like 10 lamps ablaze. He said, why not be totally changed into fire?
Thank you.
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Shlomo Mansour. This segment is on the life of St. Anthony. In the year 355 AD, St. Anthony the Great, the star of the wilderness and the father of all monks, departed. This righteous man was born in the year 251 AD in the city of Qem el Raos, to rich parents who loved the church and the poor. They raised him up in the fear of the Lord. When he was 20 years old, his parents departed. He had taken care of his sister. Once he entered the church and heard the words of the Lord Christ in the gospel, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me." He returned to his house, decided to fulfill this commandment, and considered it directly to him personally. He gave his wealth to the poor and needy, and took his sister and placed her with some virgins. At that time, monasticism had not yet been established. All those who wanted to live a solitary life went and lived on the outskirts of the city. This was what St. Anthony did, as he dwelt alone, worshipping and living an ascetic life. The devil fought him, thereby afflicting him with boredom, laziness, and phantoms of women. He overcame the devil's snares by the power of the Lord Christ. After that, he went to one of the tombs and resided therein and closed a door on himself. Some of his friends used to bring him food. When the devil perceived his ascetic life and his intense worship, he was envious of him, and he beat him mercilessly, then left him unconscious. When his friends came to visit him and found him in this condition, they carried him to the church. After he somewhat recovered, he went back to the same place. The devil again resumed his war against St. Anthony. Only this time, the phantoms were in the form of wild beasts, wolves, lions, snakes, and scorpions. They appeared as if they were about to attack him or cut him into pieces, but the saint would laugh at them scornfully and say, "If any of you have any authority over me, only one would have been sufficient to fight me." At his saying this, they disappeared as though in smoke, for God gave him the victory over the devils. He was away singing this psalm: "Let God rise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him." St. Anthony used to prepare a quantity of bread that would sustain him for 6 months. He did not allow anyone to enter his cell, and whoever came to him stood outside and listened to his advice. He continued in this condition of solitary worship for 20 years. Then, by God's command, he went to El Fayum and confirmed the brethren there in their faith, then returned to his monastery. During the time of persecution, he longed to become a martyr. He left his monastery and went to Alexandria. He visited those who were imprisoned for the sake of Christ and comforted them. When the governor saw that he was confessing the Lord Christ publicly, not caring what might happen to him, he ordered him not to show up in the city. However, the saint did not heed his threats. He faced him and argued with him in order that he might arouse his anger so that he might be tortured and martyred. But God preserved him all along according to his will for the benefit of many, and so the governor left him alone. Then the saint went back to his monastery according to God's will, and many came to visit him and to hear his teaching. He saw that these visits kept him away from his worship. As a result, he went far away to the eastern desert. He traveled with some Bedouins to the inner wilderness for 3 days, until he found a spring of water and some palm trees. Then he chose to settle there. On this spot now stands the monastery of St. Anthony the Great. The Bedouins came to him with bread, and the Lord drove away all the wild beasts from this place for his sake. On occasions, he would go to the monastery on the outskirts of the desert by the Nile, River, to visit the brethren. Then returned to his inner monastery. His fame spread abroad and reached the emperor Constantine. The emperor wrote to him, offering him praise, and asked him to pray for him. The brethren were pleased with the emperor's letter, but St. Anthony did not pay any attention to it. And he said to them, "The books of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, commands us every day, but we do not heed what they tell us, and we turn our backs on them." Under the persistence of the brethren, who told him, "Emperor Constantine loves the church," he accepted writing him a letter, blessing him and praying for the peace and safety of the empire and the church. One day, he was bored, and he heard a voice telling him, "Go out and see." He went out and saw an angel who wore a girdle with a cross, one resembling the holy scheme. On his head was a head cover, Kolasana. He was sitting while braiding palm trees, palm leaves. Then he stood up to pray, and again he sat to weave. A voice came to him, "Saint Anthony, do this and you will rest." Henceforth he started to wear this tunic that he saw and began to weave palm leaves and never got bored again. St. Anthony prophesies about the persecution that was about to happen to the church and the control of the heretics over it, the church victory and its return to its former glory, and the end of age. When St. Macarius visits St. Anthony, St. Anthony clothed him with the monk's garb, and St. Anthony foretold him that he would be of him. When the day of the departure of St. Paul, the first hermit in the desert, drew near, St. Anthony went to him. St. Anthony buried St. Paul the hermit after he had clothed him in a tunic, which was presented from St. Athanasius the Apostolic, the 20th Pope of Alexandria. When St. Anthony felt that the day of his departure had approached, he commanded his disciple to hide his body and to give his staff to St. Macarius, and to give one sheepskin cloak to St. Athanasius and the other sheepskin cloak to Amber Serapion, his disciple. He stretched himself on the ground and gave up his spirit. The angels and the saints took his spirit and carried away to the place of perpetual rest. This saint lived for 105 years, struggling in the way of holiness and purity. May his prayers be with us. Glory be God forevermore. Amen. And this is a doxology in our wonderful Coptic language, the language of the ancient Egyptians and the modern times, our Coptic people. And may I say to enjoy it as much that we'll all enjoy this wonderful tune of the Coptic Church on St. Anthony.
Vole vol khinitin hitinni muk mekin titika kiya nemni mevi et shep shop et irim binu sen kaki arin owin khin uti ehtif enni kafar toma et chosi Ente ben makareyo seniyot Başo ise ben işti avantoni Fa etaf şo binan enet çavmoy Enli min ente bi ogay Aftohem emmon hin u er uot Ehune bi on hin ene Abestoy nufintin ef aritin
تم بونوف نبسيشي ام فريتم بي اروماتا اتريت خن بي باراديسوس مارن تاغرون خن بي ناهتي ات صوتون خن اومثمي انت بينش تمتونيوس ان اوشيفون ان بو اموس جي اي كوتي او اي جيمي اي ايريتي نو اي اتشي اي كل هو تي ناتي جي سينا او اني شربنيوت افانتونيوس بيخبسن كتي مت موناخوس شربنيوت افا بافلي بي من ريت انت بخريستوس تو بهم بشوي سري ايغون انا شوي سنيوت ماينو شيري افانتونيوس نم افا بافلي انت فكان النوفينا نيفول.
It's a beautiful tune that you've put on, Richard, and can I say to you that the Life of St. Anthony is treacherous. Reading from the, you know, even having a discussion from the Vita Anthony, the Vita Anthony can be downloaded from www at Fordham, Ford, Fordham, .edu. And the Vita Anthony is on their website. Anyway, when we look at through, we know first of all that Anthony is pure Egyptian, and his parents was in a good family, as we read in the from the point of the synaxarium of the church. But I want to look at some of his virtues. One of the greatest virtues of St. Anthony was the aspect of prayer and fasting. He prayed and he learned how to pray. He learned also how to fast. I guess in our modern day age, how can we all cannot be like St. Anthony, meaning that we leave the world and go into the heart of the desert. And can you imagine anyone going to the heart of the desert today? You won't survive. Lack of water, lack of electricity, lack of food, lack of shelter, heat, and the list is endless. But when we look at here in chapter 51, item 51, it reads as follows. So he was alone in the inner mountain, spending his time in prayer and discipline. And the brethren who served him asked that they might come every month, bring him olives, poles, and oil, for now he was an old man. There then he passed his life, endured such great wrestlings, not against flesh and blood, as is written, but against opposing demons, as we learn from those who visit him. For there they heard torments, many voices, as it were the clash of arms. At night they saw the mountain become full of wild beasts, and him also fighting as though against visible beings, and praying against them, and those who came to him he encouraged. While kneeling, he contended and prayed to the Lord. Surely it was a marvelous thing that a man, alone in such a desert, feared neither the demons who rose up against him, nor the fierceness of the four-footed beast and creeping things, for they were so many. But in truth, as it is written, he trusted in the Lord as Mount Zion, with a mind unshaken and undisturbed, that the demons rather fled from him, and the wild beasts, as is written, kept peace with him. Now, if we look at our modern day, you and I, Richard, you know, obviously, how can we put into perspective? What can I fast from? What can I give up? The church gives us a simple rule on Wednesdays and Fridays for the majority of the year. And how could I, you know, do things, you know, that will keep me strong? Prayer, constant prayer. Raising the heart to God constantly. The scriptures, the sacraments, all these things will keep me afloat with the living God. St. Anthony mastered these aspects of prayer and mastered and disciplined his body through fasting. May God grant us these two wonderful virtues, particularly these two virtues we can work on all year round, prayer and fasting. May God bless for the prayers of St. Anthony the Great.
And now it's time for the Desert Fathers.
And Anthony also was exceeding prudent, and the wonder was that although he had not learned letters, he was a ready, witted, and an astute and sharp man. At all events, two Greek philosophers once came, thinking they could try the school on Anthony, and he was in the outer mountain. Had recognized who they were from their appearance, came to them and said to them by means of an interpreter, "Why, philosophers, do you trouble yourselves in much to come to foolish men?" When they said that, he was not a foolish man, but exceedingly prudent. He said to them, "If you come to foolish men, your labor is superfluous, but if you think me prudent, become as I am, for we ought to imitate what is good. And if I had come to you, I should have imitated you, but if you to me, become as I am, for I am a Christian." But they departed with wonder, for they saw that even demons feed Anthony. Such are the words of Anthony, and we ought not to doubt whether such marvels were wrought by the hand of a man, or it is the promise of the Saviour when he says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Remove hence,' it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask, and you shall receive. And he himself, it is who said to the disciples, and to all who believe on him, 'Heal the sick, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give.'" Abba Anthony said to Abba Bhimi that this is a great work of man, always to reproach himself for his own faults before God, and expect temptation until the last breath. The same said, "No one can enter the kingdom of heaven untempted, He said, remove the temptations and no one would be saved.
And now it's time for the Did You Know segment. Did you know that God does marvelous things in our lives, not just on a yearly basis or in a once-in-a-lifetime basis, but every day? Did you know that God made the decision to send down His only Son to forgive our sins with His blood? Did you know you have been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese and affiliated regions, proudly sponsored by Coptic Media Association? If you wish to write to us, you can do so by CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com, or you can contact us by Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/CopticVoiceRadio, or you can share us, like us, and follow us. You can also download our podcast through the podcast app on Apple devices, the podcast app on BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
Now it's time for us to say goodbye. I hope that you have enjoyed our program today on Vita Anthony, the life of St. Anthony the Great. We enjoyed it thoroughly because we learned so much from it. And we hope that you can continue in your life journey, life of faith as St. Anthony, and put two virtues in your life, prayer and fasting, that way God will hear you and listen to you. And be obedient to God's voice, because that's the key to life. And we look forward that you have a GW with Speak One, a great weekend. And when Monday comes, have a great week. Sign out. This is Father from the Mansa for Coptic Voice Radio. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.